Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we answered listeners' questions, but this was after a 53-minute introductory conversation where we talk about fitness, our lives, current events, studies, a lot more. Than that, fun stuff. Anyway, check the show notes for timestamps if you want to skip around your favorite part. Also, if you want to ask a question that we might pick from, go to Instagram at Mind Pump Media. That's where you can do it. This episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Dynasty. You can go to getdynasty.com and get yourself set up with a trust for free. It takes 5 minutes, and now you have a trust that protects your family. It's getdynasty.com. This episode is also brought to you by Organifi. They make organic supplements for health, wellness, and athletic performance. They even make supplements for kids. That's what we talked about today in our episode. Go check them out. Go to Organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 20% off. We also have a sale this month on some workout programs. MAPS Anywhere and MAPS HIT are both 50% off. If you're interested, go to MAPSFitnessProducts.com and then use the code April50 for the discount. All right, back to the show. Good health equals freedom. Okay, why am I saying that? Because oftentimes people think, you know, I don't want to work out daily. I don't want to watch my diet. I just want to live my life. I just want to be free. That's a lie. Poor health reduces your options in life. If you want to be sad, you want to have poor mobility, be more likely to be anxious, then sure, don't structure your day around exercise and don't watch what you eat. But if you want the freedom that only good health can provide, then include that structure. Structure will give you more freedom.
Where did we hear that first?
Was that a Jordan Peterson twist on fitness?
Freedom. I think Jocko, he does that a lot.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard it in a lot of different arenas. I remember Bishop Barron saying that.
Oh, you don't remember who said it first?
I don't.
We were all together when we heard it. I remember.
I know Bishop Barron did a talk when we were in London, but it was more about like spiritual freedom, right?
Yeah.
But around fitness and health, I don't know. But I mean, I know you guys ran into this as well. How many times people would say they stopped following their workout or diet because they just wanted to quote unquote enjoy their life or, you know, I just want to be free and eat what I want type of deal. It's like, that's a myth. It's a myth because it comes with its own consequences and limitations. And I can't think of a less free thing than having really bad health, especially when it's preventable. I don't know. I have family members I see with poor health that now are in situations where they don't have the freedom to get up and go play at the park with their kids because they don't have the energy. They can't do it. Yeah. They don't have the freedom to do certain things because they could die.
Yeah, it sets you up for challenges that you don't have the tools to overcome. Like at that point, like life is riddled with challenges. And it's like if you're just going to sit there and think everything's going right now, I mean, you could be in that state, but for how long? There's inevitable you're going to face something that, especially physically, you're going to face something that you need to overcome.
I mean, we're at that age now. You guys seeing your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Drop off on stuff like this?
Yeah.
Like, is there like specific things that you can recall like you guys used to do or they did and like now just like, oh, no, that's not something. I mean, I see that. Like my
pickup games in general.
Yeah. My best friends and I, like one of our favorite things to do was to snowboard. And like that, I haven't ridden with them in years. I just have completely like given that up. It's just like, oh, the risk and it's too much work.
Well, because I've been in fitness for so long. So my family knows I've been doing this for a long time. And then my peers in my family, the questions used to be early on, they were like, how do I get jacked? And the questions were, how do I get lean? You know what the questions are now?
Yeah, healthy.
My back hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My knee hurts. Dude, can you help me with my ankle? Or man, I was painting this or I was, you know, taking the garbage out and I'll get texts like this.
Yeah, my blood pressure's too high.
Yeah, yeah.
I had crazy stuff. Yeah.
I had a buddy just reach out to me and he's like, dude, I'm pre-diabetic. Like, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his 40s. I mean, that brings up a good point. Like the older you get, the bigger the difference is between healthy people and not healthy people. So as we get into our, 50s and 60s and 70s, it's going to become a vast chasm between us and other people, or because we chose, I guess, the structure,
And I told you guys, just a little stupid accident that I had, just cutting my fingers, and just that limiting factor for me, just took out a hobby of mine I love. And then also it makes everything else a little bit more just annoying, and it puts me in a state where my mood's affected. And that's just a really small little thing. But now you add on something that's you're facing some kind of health crisis, what is that going to do to your overall status in terms of your mental health?
I really have two categories of friends, or involving the fitness side, that either one, they went really hard young. So they were athletes, trained super hard, or maybe CrossFit, or they trained that for their teens into 20s. And then they've completely fallen off, or the people that I've just chose never to really care about health and fitness. I feel like I have. And I think the ones that it's really hard to convince somebody who's never seen the value in exercise and training. The ones that I'm always trying to help save, or I guess get re-excited about exercise and training again, are the ones that had a passion for it at one time and still have this attachment to what it looks like. I think the relationship with it was much like probably how mine was when I was younger, that I felt that I had to do this crazy workout time. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped me as I got older was actually giving myself the freedom to do one exercise. As silly as that may sound, I had very much so this all or nothing mentality.
Yeah, it's a waste of time if I can't do anything.
Yeah, and even during my years of being a personal trainer, I thought this way. I was either all on or I was off, and I had these massive swings. And because I had a relationship like that, if I still had that attitude here in my 40s, I would probably talk myself out of being in shape a lot of times. I was like, oh man, I can't seem to string 3 weeks of consistency together. Therefore, fuck it. Don't do anything. Whereas now this, the last, I'd say 5 to 7 years of my life, I've allowed myself the freedom. I'm going to go in and do 3 sets of squats, or I'm going to go do some pushups and pull-ups. I just never thought that way before. And I tell you, that makes a huge difference.
So I work out at UFC Fit right now, and there's this woman that works out in there, an older woman, and she trains with, you could tell she's been working out for a long time. When you see somebody in that age category, you could tell, right? She's been working out for a long time. So I talked to her the other day, I see her every morning. And we started, it turns out she actually knew the show. She was friends with Lane Norton, so we had some things in common. But she was, I think she said 63. And you watch her work out, she's got zero mobility issues. I mean, she's squatting, she's deadlifting, she's overhead pressing, she's moving. She's got more energy than most 20-year-olds that I know. And I remember I was watching her work out. I'm like, man, the average 60-something-year-old that I know in my family is in a different category altogether. Yeah. They're not in here working out like she. Not only can they not do what she does, but they couldn't do a quarter of what she does without injuring themselves. Yeah. And this woman's been working out for years and years and years. And so all that time, think about that, right? People are like, I don't want to do that. Too much structure. I want to enjoy my life, this, that, and the other. You are going to be hit with the reality of lack of or loss of freedom. Now you can't bend over. Now you can't squat. Or now you don't have the energy to do the things that you want to do. Or now you have to take this medication. So it's this total twist. It's a really twisted, interesting way that people view exercise and eating. And again, I think it comes from what we always talk about, which is hating yourself, where it's exercise, oh, that's a punishment. Diet, that's restrictive. It's like, no, man, if you do it to improve and increase the amount of freedom you have in life, and it's through your body that you experience life. So if your body's healthy, your experience is going to be better than if it's unhealthy. That's why this is something that, should be a part of everybody's life.
Yeah. I mean, since we're talking about this, I've been thinking about this a lot personally. When you guys are evaluating your own personal health and fitness, what are areas that you're thinking about right now as far as I need more of this, or I'm working on being better about this or changing this. Where are you all at on your personal journey?
I overdo everything. So this is always a struggle for me, but I'm much better on mobility than I was before. Now it's been at least 6 weeks where I've been more focused on mobility for my lower body, which where I need it most, and have avoided some of the heavy lower body exercises that I don't want to let go of. But that's going to be a thing for me. It's always mobility because it's not as fun as, you know, beating myself.
I mean, I had to like fully commit to go to where you like, because I feel you on that struggle, because that was a big hurdle for me, and I had to like just let it go.
I'm not ready to do it. You know, you know what I mean? I'm trying. You know?
No, I mean, you admit it. At least you admit it. You know what I'm saying? You're being honest. Like it's and I get it, because I remember it was tough. Like, because I identified it as the buff bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Guy, you know what I'm saying? Like that was who I was, right? So it's like, man, to go the other direction was really tough. What about you?
Yeah, I'm somewhat in this hybrid, sort of in the middle, because I was working a lot on bringing back some athleticism and some of the movement that I was capable of doing, and especially the fast twitch stuff, and like making sure I could at least like control myself, like move fast and control. Like that's all I care. So I'm not like all over the place. And it got to a point where it was like kind of embarrassing, because you know, when you look back and you're like, man, I used to move so well and I had good form. And, you know, that was just something I pride myself in. Was slowly kind of losing that just based off of habits and like sitting and, you know, being in traffic and like doing things at the house. And I wasn't really as, you know, I didn't have a lot of variety in terms of like movements that I used to do. So I slowly brought that back. But really what we've been talking a lot on the show about, like, just sort of risk reward and like, you know, as we're moving forward, like in our MAPS 40 plus, I think I was really like kind of evaluating that. And like, even for myself, you know, some of these core lifts and just the impact it's had on me over the years. And I've actually lightened the load substantially on like back squats and bench press and like some of the main ones, and have, you know, shifted a bit more into the hypertrophy side of the fence. And so I'm like, you know, in terms of like the core lifts, I'm way more hypertrophy focused now, but still incorporating like Olympic rings and then the sled and like a lot more functional elements in there. But that's sort of where I'm at.
Have you been doing that for a while? How long is it just, or is this
probably? Like, so some of the more of the hypertrophy stuff, maybe like the last month and a half, it's been a new sort of focus for me. And my body feels
you
a lot
do look
better.
Like you actually gained a little bit of size.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. Sweet. Yeah, I swear to God. How about you, Adam?
It's all hypertrophy there.
So I have this really interesting thing that's happening right now with starting that tirzepatide. It made me reevaluate some things that I had never really thought about, which is really – and I don't even know if I – so bear with me that I'm like trying to articulate this, because I'm still trying to wrap my brain around this. That and I think that it could be linked to my autoimmune issues. And that is that I have trained myself for so many decades now to eat, to be a bigger version of myself for so long that
double meat everything.
Right? Everything. Yeah, everything is just I have
ignore your signals.
Exactly. Ignore all signals. Yeah. This is what it takes to be this big, and I like having this much muscle.
It's crazy when you do it for so long, because I'm the same way. You do it for so long. You don't even realize it.
My default is still, it's just like, there's versions of it, right? There's like the clean version of like still a massive amount of food, just super clean. And then there's the like, you know, eating out and over consuming calories. It's still massive. And that's typically I bounce between the two. I allow a flexibility in the diet. I eat out, have occasional drinks and desserts here and there. Body fat creeps up a little bit. Tailor it back. Back to my
but still larger portion.
Yes, but the eating clean version is still, I mean, a lot of food and a lot of calories. And since I started this tirzepatide, like it's just completely just crushed my appetite. And of course, the trainer wannabe buff guy in my head's doing the math on the, oh my God, the grams of protein I'm not eating. This is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to resist that, and I'm trying to like really be open minded to. What if I just allow my body to go to where it probably wants to go naturally? Granted, I am using something to help me that way, so it's probably going to accelerate that process. But I'm gonna like
still make good choices.
Right. I'm gonna lean into it versus trying to fight it. Because Katrina was even asking that, because she was like, well, aren't you not going to get your protein? I'm like, don't, you can't say that to me. Aren't you going to be missing? You're going to lose a bunch of muscle. I said, well, first of all, I don't think I'm going to lose a bunch of muscle. I said, and
she's triggering the skinny guy.
I know.
What are you doing, Katrina?
She has motives.
I know. Yeah.
Leave him alone.
She's always like, she likes the big guy, right? For sure. And I like the big guy too, but I don't think I'm going to, and that's why I got to get on my own head. I'm like, I'm going to be a small guy. I'm 6'3", 230 pounds, right? So even if I lost 30 pounds, I'm not a small guy, right? So anyways, I'm heading in this direction and I'm just trying to evaluate how my body feels. And then the next goal is kind of stuff that you're talking about, Justin. Like I really, really, and I've said this on the show before, and I hate talking about it publicly because then I get all the DMs of people asking me where I'm at with it. And again, this is me talking out loud. I haven't fully committed to what I'm going to do yet, but I really want to get back into basketball shape. But I know I can't do that until I get my size, my body down to like basketball size, what mm-hmm. I was 190, you know, at most 200 pound athlete. Like I'm a 230 pound, you know, ex bodybuilder dude now. And mm-hmm. so there's a huge gap there. And so I'm trying to just let this go where I'm eating with, you know, like when I'm hungry, making good choices, allowing the scale to drop, not worrying
about it. So, you know what's cool about this for people listening? You're so growth minded that you're using this, and I'm going to kind of little title here to what's happening. You're using this as an opportunity for personal growth is what's happening, right? Because you're challenging the way you felt about yourself, which you probably thought wasn't a problem. Now it's surfacing.
That's the part that's interesting to me is that...
that's how insidious.
Yeah, right. I know. That's the part that's really interesting to me is that if you were to ask me, like that's why I thought I was a good candidate for bodybuilding because I had moved past those insecurities, right? And even like the example of letting it go, becoming the mm-hmm. mobility guy and going down that path, like I was really okay with that. It mm-hmm. took work. I'm not going to say it was like all easy, like because that's why I understand the struggle that you have. Like, but I mean, I was able to do it. I committed to it and I did good. Like I became like a really mobile person that I lacked and it was fully committing to that direction. So I really had thought I had completely moved past this, but what I never had really thought about is like, wow, maybe what I even thought as my default back to eating good is still in such a surplus of what I naturally really want for my body type that I didn't even realize that. And so, yeah, and only, this has only been triggered by this tirzepatide because it has crushed the appetite so much. And let me tell you, it is fucking weird, man. I'm only on week two right now. You know how skeptical I am, but and maybe this has something to do too with I'm so low calorie that I crave really healthy, nutrient dense whole foods to the point. And this is, and Katrina made this comment the other day in the kitchen. She's like, because she was asking how I'm feeling and what I noticed and this and that. She goes, you know what I noticed? That's really interesting. She goes, in the 13 years we've been together, if I don't feel like cooking, you never balk at us ordering out. And even when you're on your diet or like that, you just choose a healthy choice. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, we'll get Nick the Greek or, you know, we'll order in something that's a healthy choice still. She goes, I've never seen you ask what we're having for dinner. And then I tell you, oh, I'm just, honey, I don't want to cook tonight. And then you get up and go to the grocery store and go get something and then cook it yourself for us. Like that's, I've never seen that.
It's very interesting.
It is.
Yeah. It's interesting. And it is interesting how, so I think the way that you're using this is the way that people can use these peptides is GLP-1s successfully. In other words, if you use this peptide, so think of this.
A behavioral hack.
Thank you. You Matt, there's two scenarios here. Scenario one or person one goes on tirzepatide or semaglutide and then just eats less, lose weight, doesn't really examine and aim for personal growth during that period. I think they'll rebound when they go back off. Other person or second example, person does this and then they examine. Wow, I had a bad relationship with this, or my God, I reached for food so much when I was anxious or stressed or depressed, or this is what it feels like when I eat this way. I think if you use it as a tool for that kind of growth, then the odds that you're going to be successful post peptide are going to be much higher.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very new.
And you said now with your autoimmune, because of the quantity of food is less, are you noticing a difference in your psoriasis?
Yeah, I mean, it's really good right now. I mean, it's really good right now.
I wonder
now.
If you're just stressing your gut from the amount of food
that
you're...
100% what I'm piecing together right now. God. I mean, I've been trying to solve this thing for...
You think my gut issues are related?
Crazy. Oh, I
know. That. Yeah. That was a dumb question.
Mine's all repressed, like, shit.
You just have anger in there, bro.
Yeah, it's all in my body. Yeah.
Well, what's going to be... What's really interesting, too, is
you're gonna cry if you go into this episode. So just a bunch of crying will come out.
It's all gonna fucking come out once. It's gonna be a hot mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? And again, I'm just sharing again, with the audience, like,
and people listening, don't go online and try and find a source. Go to mphormones.com.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Doctor.
Hey, I'm not even telling anyone to do it yet, right? Like, yeah. I'm just the whole point of me doing this, because it's not like I'm a person who needs to lose a bunch of weight or anything like that. It was like I was so curious about the other stuff that everybody was saying.
Yeah,
like one of the fascinating things about this report is what it's doing neurologically, not what it's like. This isn't a fat burner. It's not. That's what I was trying to explain to Katrina. She's like, why would you take this? This is not. You don't need to lose weight.
Somebody was asking me that. Yeah, like, why was Adam do it? He's not like, I'm like, he's the perfect person to do it, because you know, we don't have that perspective.
Exactly.
It's not out there for somebody to really like analyze it, you know, from that lens. And I think that that's going to bring a completely different conversation.
We don't like to sell or talk about anything that we haven't necessarily experienced either firsthand or, you know, multiple times with clients. Yeah. So that's the main reason why. So otherwise it's just,
yeah, I was really, I mean, cause obviously,
and truth be told, Adam would say, and he will, if this is, ends up, if that's it, why if I it ends up wanna, not being a good thing, he'll
that's
say.
That's why I'm even hesitant. I mean, I know I want to be, I want to share as we go through this, but I mean, we're only 2 weeks in right now. Okay. So like, but what I'm feeling, and no, even like, so yesterday was my shot and day six. So right. So every 7 days I have to take a shot. On day six was the first time I even considered eating like a snack, or like, I thought I've had ice cream this whole time in the freezer, right? So I intentionally left candy, ice cream, things in my house that I could go get if I want to. I don't even want to make it easy for myself, right? And I haven't even had the urge to do anything like that. And the first time, like, it had actually kind of crossed my mind, like, oh, I could go downstairs and go have that. And I'm like, still didn't want it. But that was the first time. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting that I haven't noticed even the thought of it until right now. And this is day six of taking the
weird.
And then the next day I took the shot yesterday. And then, of course, again,
wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So,
hey, since we're talking about like, you know, medical interventions, I just read this crazy article on Viagra and Cialis, and you would not believe what this article is about. So it's not about erections or sexual performance or whatever those drugs are used for, but check out the summary of what I'm reading here. So Viagra and Cialis. So these are PDE5 inhibitors. They dramatically increase what's called nitric oxide, dilates the blood vessels. This is why men get a better erection when they're on them. But dilating the blood vessels also lowers blood pressure a little bit. Nitric oxide is good for your blood vessels. You know, Viagra, in fact, was initially researched as a blood pressure medication, but they saw that it lowered blood pressure a little bit, but you know, everybody got boners, so here, we'll sell it for that instead. Well, check this out.
Byproduct.
Now that Cialis and Viagra have been around for a long time, you know what they're finding? They're more potent at decreasing all-cause mortality than statins or blood pressure drugs.
Oh, my God. How funny is that? In
comparison to statins and blood pressure lowering drugs,
wow,
men who took Viagra and Cialis had better all-cause mortality.
And they were happier.
And they're probably happier as a result. All because the boost in nitric oxide is good for the arteries and the heart. Okay,
I used to think that there would be is a bad part of that. Is the body going to adapt to taking that on a regular basis? Is there any like
baby aspirin wasn't that
that's different.
Recommended? Yeah, it's different.
Yeah,
pathway. But
so is there potential that this could be considered a thing that people would take?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, what you're probably going to see, because now you see PDE5 inhibitors are getting recommended to men with prostate enlargement.
Where's the Viagra stock at right now?
Yeah,
ticker. Tell me the ticker.
But now I would go with the other ones, the longer acting ones like Cialis or whatever. But and I think that you're going to start seeing them get recommended to men with heart
issues. What's happening? like all of a sudden now, like, everybody's like, you know, the go-to is like, let's get on hormones.
Yeah.
Let's get Viagra. It's healthy.
Yeah. What's happening?
What's happening there?
But I thought that was really
imagine talking to yourself like, you know,
that's 20 years. That's so interesting.
I thought that was very interesting. Very and interesting. I think what you're going to see. So athletes have been using Viagra and Cialis for a while now because they notice improvements in performance. Bodybuilders are the first ones to mess with these.
It used to be when I was 17 and 18 years old, the gym I used to go to, in fact, the one that you guys used to, we did the very first version of MAPS Black, right? MAPS Aesthetic. We've shot in that gym. Mm-hmm. That gym, I remember as a 17-year-old, I'd find pills like on the floor once in a while in the bathroom, like Viagra pills.
Yeah.
I never connected that as a kid. Mm-hmm. Why would there be like boner pills in the men's locker room? And more than once. Like it wasn't like one time, as I seen it multiple times.
Improves blood flow. There's a stock right there. It's pretty
cool. That's the Eli Lilly. They're involved with Cialis.
Okay.
That's gone up.
Mm.
Just like it's been on Viagra.
Wow, look at that. There. That stock is up.
Rising.
No pun intended.
Very swollen.
Dude, talking about mobility, have you guys ever just hit your leg on the side of your bed so hard that you feel...
That's the worst.
God, I'm so annoyed because the sheets go over the bed just enough to where you can't tell.
Like a wood frame or whatever?
Yeah, dude. So my daughter... I'm
metal ones are the worst.
Oh, bro. So I'm putting my daughter to sleep. So Jessica tries first. No success. And my daughter typically goes down easy. So for whatever reason, I think it's because we messed up the bed routine. So parents listening right now,
new
parents.
That's always it, bro.
Keep it exactly the same. Right. Yeah. Any change. Okay. And what was the change?
Blame yourself immediately if you change it.
The change was that both of us went upstairs with her to put her down. And I think she saw both of us, thought, it's party time. Did not want to go down.
Yeah.
I leave. Jessica's having a tough time putting her down. We switch off. I try to put her down. I put her in. She starts crying a bunch. Try to calm her. Doesn't work. I pick her up and I'm like mad. I'm holding her and I'm like, walking, bam, right into the side of the bed, dude. Bro, so hard, but I didn't want to scare the baby. So I did one of those, you're holding it in. Bro, I hit it so hard. It's like swollen right here, dude. I was like, damn it. Oh, she went down eventually.
Did you see that? I put in my story a couple days ago. There was this guy that did a video where he had... It was almost like a little merry-go-round thing that it had all of the Razor scooters on it. And so he put one shin out.
Oh, yeah.
So it went dink, dink.
Oh, why?
It was just like the masochism. Like,
no.
Like, and then did the other leg after that. And I just one time that's happened to me. And it was like, I almost cried.
Yeah. Two of the most annoying pains ever is if you hit your toe on like a post or something.
Yeah. Or you step on Legos.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's
horrible.
And then I don't know about you. So my wife, if she sees a pimple on me for whatever reason across the house, she's got to come over and squeeze it.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's the worst. I don't know why. It's the most intolerable pain. I'm like sitting there. And she's like, you're being a baby. Like, stop.
Well, the worst is because it's like kind of tickles at first because they go all soft and then they
yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that was like 0 to 100.
That's such a chimp thing too. You know what I mean? Like she's like trying to.
It is weird that women like to do that.
Because I don't know dudes that are into that.
No.
You want to squeeze a pimple off your wife's?
Come here, bro.
No, it doesn't work.
That doesn't happen. I have two things that I want to bring up. One of them, I want Doug to share something. But first, before I do that, I wanted to share this clip with you guys. Jerry sent it over to me. I thought it was really interesting. You know, we're working with Get Dynasty, and I just keep finding more and more reasons why to do this. And I was like, I wanted to show you guys and see what you thought and see if you guys even knew this. Doug, I sent it over to you. Can you pull up the video so the guys can watch it real quick?
Words you didn't know till you had to know, part one, conservatorship. Conservatorship is whenever somebody leaves a minor child some money, whoever is awarded over that child will get the conservatorship to be over their finances. You'll get a court liaison and you'll have a judge that will be over it. That way that they can oversee how the child's money is being spent and make sure that nothing is being withheld from the child. Although I do understand that this service has to be in place, I did not know that it had to be in place for natural parents. See, my husband passed away 2 years ago, and he left our son Liam. Liam, say hi. He left him 5% of his life insurance. Although he thought he was doing the right thing, when he passed, he didn't have a will at the time. So all of the things that we had to go into probate. I had to pay thousands of dollars to become the conservator over his account. Anytime I needed to use the money, I had to pay court fees and filing fees, all these other things to be able to use the money. So thousands of dollars was wasted to get the conservatorship, and hundreds of dollars was wasted every time I needed to use it. My husband would have left the money into a trust. This could have all avoided because the trust would have told us how he wanted it to be taken care of. So my name is Nikki, and I'm your widowed friend. Whenever you leave money to a minor, please put it in a trust set. That way that you don't have to go through what we had to go through. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, wow.
How crazy is that? I did not know.
A lot of people don't know this.
Bro, that's crazy.
This is one of those things where it's like wealthy people, they have family lawyers, they have family setups, and they take care. If you're middle class, like a lot of people don't know this. If you die and you leave money to your kid, even though their mom is still alive, it's got to go through probate, and then she has to go and spend thousands of dollars, and then every time they need to use it, they spend money to try and use the money for the kid. Whereas if you had a trust, it's a done deal.
I didn't know that.
And
obviously we're set up, but I did still before that, not one of my motivations was, hey, I needed to worry about if I pass, like Katrina wouldn't automatically just get all control of
that. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's terrible. So people don't know, we work with a company called Dynasty, and they are one of the first, if not the first company ever to allow people to create a trust online for free. Because one of the other challenges was if you wanted to make a trust, it would cost you hundreds or thousands of dollars with a lawyer. So now you got kids, your dad, mom, whatever. You want to create a trust, got to go to a lawyer, spend thousands of dollars to set this up. Every time I need to change something, call the lawyer, pay them their hourly fee. With Dynasty, it's getdynasty.com. It's free. And it took 5 minutes to set up a trust on there. So
I keep learning more and more about it. I didn't realize how simple your cousins made it. And then two, how important it is, even if you don't have millions and millions of dollars to leave, even when by the time you get your first house or your first asset, in my opinion, like you want to be already thinking.
And the way they set it up too, is you can go on there and add assets and manage it all through them. So it's super easy. So,
yeah. It actually saves you money long-term the earlier
tons of money. Yeah. Speaking of money, I got to bring this up to you, Adam, because you love this. So I'm in a group text with my cousins and my brother. My brother sends over this clip of this YouTube influencer like guy who's like, you know, a day trader. Okay. He's in his 20s, day trader. He's like, dude, this guy makes like $30 million a year. This is crazy. And it's like a picture of his kid was like Lamborghinis and a big house. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's like, yeah, he totally talks about how he does it. I'm like, listen, if you're making $30 million a year day trading, you're the worst business person ever to devote hours to making YouTube videos, or B, your whole business is convincing people you make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
a lot of
somebody, somebody gave me like the down low on that. Right. So I guess I'm not very familiar with the day trading circle and stuff like that. But to your point, this has become like this massive space of all these young 20-year-old kids that are selling all these courses online to teach you how to do what they've done. And look at my Lamborghini, look at my big house. Like I've done all stuff. Most of them either rent the house and the Lamborghinis are leased. And even if they bought the Lamborghinis, I mean, you still get a Lamborghini for a few $100,000 doesn't make you worth tens of millions. But
typically,
don't
they do with a bunch of other influencers?
Yeah, So that was the other hack that I didn't know about. That's like a big thing, especially in the LA market and stuff like that. And with influencers is five guys go in on it and they all purchase it together. And
they use it for social media.
Yeah, they just use it for social media. And then they write it off because they're using it for social media. So, but the other hack or thing that they're doing is, I mean, right away, that should be like to your point about not only making YouTubers, but if you're selling courses online on how to make money and you're already making tens of millions of dollars, why would you waste your time selling, you know, $500, $900 courses? Like go spend more time day trading because that's what you're really good at.
Yeah, my buddy's like, oh, he just wants to help people.
No. What these guys do is this.
You guys make money too.
Because everyone's like, I've seen it. I've seen his account.
Yes.
I show the video. So what they do is they get like four or five phones or more. I don't know how many they do. They get multiple phones and you can sign up for ghost accounts. So they let you like these day trading accounts, you can just like practice.
It's not real money.
Yeah. So then what they do is they have like four or five of these phones and then they're practicing all these trades.
And if they hit a few.
Yeah. Then they hit a few, then they share with the internet. I'm like, oh, that's a brilliant freaking hustle.
So it looks like.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like.
I did.
Yeah. Look at because they do that. Like they prove and it's like, yeah, and you can't tell the difference on the screen from where you're looking at if it's a, you know, an account that they're play money. It's not their real account or
whatever. It's like a simulation or whatever.
Yeah, they would not. That's what I was trying to tell them. Like, they would not devote, because making and editing YouTube videos and putting them out there and being an influencer.
Yeah, we know how long that takes.
It's work. Yeah. Why would he, if he's making $30 million a year, do the math on how much you think he's making per day trading. Why would he waste his time making videos on YouTube?
It's
and then sell these courses when he could just make more money day trading.
The only reason why this isn't so obvious to people is because we're still in the middle of this transition of old media to new media.
Yes.
Because this is no different than commercials you see on TV. Same crap. Like, it's not like nobody runs out after they see a commercial on TV and they're like, dude, this guy's, it's like, it's he's an actor hustle and he's paid to do that. And, it's, and farmers put it together. It's like, come on. It's like, but... Because we're still in this transitional period of that this is new media and this is how you market, this is how you sell. These guys are doing this as a tax write-off. They're either leasing or they're going five ways into it. They're using good and it's all fair game because it's marketing and advertising. And so everybody's, I mean, even I was like, man, there's a lot of these young kids that are like making hella money. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, if this 20-year-old kid can figure out how to day trade,
I'm
I should
so
be able
skeptical.
To.
Like, the whole, like, finance and money space and, like, how to make you, like telling people how to make money. Like, that's, like, such a, like, how many can you even think of that you would be like, yes, that guy is super authentic.
It's, I mean, remember when we all first got together, I mean, Doug knows this because he's been in the, you know, marketing space for a long time. He's just like, man, if you guys want to make money, the biggest way to make money is to sell other, teach other people how to make money.
Yeah.
It's also the easiest way too, to, cause it like the proof like that, you see the watches, you see the cars and like, you know, you do the math and you're like, flash. Oh, that's a million there. That's 100,000.
It's no different than some bodybuilder fanatic.
You're saying, right.
I know how to train people. And I know how to put people
exactly
on diet.
Like that. Look how ripped that's I why am. You have all these Instagram people for that got, you know, took first place in a bodybuilding show.
And now they're like professional trainers.
Yeah. Now they're coaches online making $200,000 a year, teaching people how to get ready for a show. And they don't know anything really about exercise and nutrition. They just know how to diet and take steroids and they did a good job at it. And so now they sell everybody else.
Super
fresh. But I mean, that's the easiest to me, a red flag is just like, it's like, okay, if we were, if you, here's how you would know Mind Pump isn't as big of a deal as Mind Pump is if you saw me, I have five slots for personal training available for you guys right now. I have five slots available for one-on-one training. Like, what the fuck is he doing one-on-one training if his business is that big? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I be training people one-on-one? Like, it just doesn't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? So why would you be selling
there's only four left, by the way. One just popped up right now.
Limited
I'm
space.
I'm into going out of business. That's my favorite.
But I mean, it's the same thing for that space, right? If you're a big financial day trader guy and you're making $30 million a year, what are you doing selling $5.99 courses? Like,
speaking of
you hustling, care, dude, because you care, give it away then. If you're really that nice, if you're really making that much money, give it away.
They don't. They don't care. All right. Speaking of new media, this law in Florida that banned social media, because now social media companies are going to get fined. I think $500,000. They're going to get fined massively.
Oh, that's how they're handling
if they fail to cancel accounts of kids that are
the
under
state can do that?
Yeah, they can do that. Yeah, they could totally do that.
I didn't know they had the power to do that.
They
that's
do.
Interesting.
So they pass this
if they're
law,
a resident of Florida and they can
if Facebook doesn't, I don't know if they have to be a yes, I think they have to be a resident of Florida. If they're found not canceling accounts of minors.
This is interesting.
Then they will get fined.
This is
be a
super
big deal.
Interesting, Sal, because that it's so weird how a state can impose a law and now a company is responsible. Because that there might even be a department for Facebook that goes in and checks state by state.
Sure.
How old are these people that are on there? Like you never even had to do that. Now you have to do this and also need to build an entire department
or
team
a whole section
dedicated to that so you avoid getting sued.
Now here's the deal. Smart social media companies, I think, and the problem with this is that they were looking at the horizon. So many of their users were kids. So I get the struggle. But if they were smart, they would have looked at all this and the data and said, you know what, we need to get ahead of this because here's what I think. Florida passed this bill. And guess what? Most people like it. I'm seeing people on social. You know Chamath from All In. He just did a tweet on it.
Yeah,
and he goes, "I totally support this." You're talking about free market people who, when it comes to kids, I'm the same way. Like I'm when it comes to children,
kids different category.
I'm pro regulation. Yeah. When you're an adult, now I'm definitely very different. But when it comes to kids, like you know, I think it's not a bad thing. And social media has been shown to have terrible effects on children. And so, and I think it's going to spread. That's what I think. What do they say?
So they require Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter require users to be at least 13 years old.
Yeah.
So they must be collecting information about the age of these kids.
They are.
So from that standpoint, they could go do a search
most likely
and delete those accounts.
Yeah. So the other thing I would be curious about is if like, you know, is this really difficult to bypass?
You have to get a VPN.
What do you mean?
You could get a VPN, then they don't know where you're coming from.
No, I mean, like, how hard would it be for my, well, I mean, my son's too young to be an example, your son to get on there and click, I'm older than 15.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be something like that, right? That it's a, it's all, it's literally, yeah, it's like if you get on any site that requires you to be 18.
You can, but let me put it to you this way. You're a parent in Florida. Yeah. Okay. And look, I have teenage kids. Justin does too. And people are like, just parent your kids more. No, I get that. But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard parenting, especially 14-year-old, 15-year-old. It's very difficult. They're not around you all the time. It's not like a toddler. You can keep your eye on them all the time. So now imagine the state passes this law. Now you can be like, hey, why do you have Instagram on your phone? You can't have that. That's illegal. Take that off. So now you get a little assistance from the state. So sure, the kid could go, just like a kid could go find alcohol.
Exactly.
But the law makes it a little more challenging.
Okay, that's fair. That's a good point. That's a fair point. I mean, I feel like it's a really easy thing to get around, but that's a good point right there, even just from a parenting standpoint of that's like, hey, it's not even legal for you to do that yet. I don't let you smoke cigarettes. I don't let you drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. One day you'll be old enough. You can be able to make those decisions. But as long as you live under my roof right now,
I predict this to spread.
Not to mention, I mean, all of the, I would assume there's been a lot of cases where people have like minors have gotten into trouble with like pictures and videos and things used against them that could set them up for just like horrible outcomes long term. It'll affect the way that they have a career, it'll affect the way that they have a relationship with somebody. Listen, and it's so unfortunate.
Listen, the data is connecting social media use to anxiety, depression, suicide. We're seeing rates, and now it's not the only thing, okay? I'm not stupid. I think there's inactivity. I think that there's a lot of things in the changing landscape that's contributing to this. But you are seeing suicide rates, anxiety and depression rates among kids that we've never seen.
Yeah.
Never. And it's worse when they use a lot of social media. And they're finding the relationship is not, you know, they thought maybe it was a two-way relationship. Well, if you're more depressed, you're more likely to use social media. No, the data is showing using the social media is leading to these things like depression.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to spread. My prediction is that pretty soon cell phone companies are going to not let you download these apps unless you're a certain age. That's what I think.
Oh, wow.
Because now that you have a precedent set in Florida, lawsuits will start to follow. Once these companies are like, uh-oh, we're getting sued. Right. So imagine if you had a kid who's 14 who committed suicide. Now you have a case where you could take it to the courts and say, they shouldn't have been on the social media. You guys allowed this to happen. You guys... That starts to spread. I think that laws like this are going to start to take hold.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I can see that.
I absolutely.
I mean, I'm for it too.
It's a huge problem that, they're just now sort of really like attacking it.
I mean, I think that this is not a short road to regulating pornography for minors as well. I think that's the next step. I think that should have been first, but
yeah,
I think that's the next step.
How's it not regulated? It's already regulated.
They don't regulate very well.
Well, I mean, that's how I feel. That's my point 18? About Facebook.
Yes,
that's what I mean. That's my point there too, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's still it's still just.
I think
as
what
easy.
They'll do in some places they've actually been able to. You have to register your age with the state, and then that's required to get on the site type of deal. Hmm. The way around it is to get a VPN. By the way, that clip we did on the dangers of pornography is flying.
Yeah, I know. It's
cool. And somebody...
my poor wife got so many...
Oh, no.
You know, the one downfall of taking something out of context like that, everybody's like... Katrina's getting all kinds of DMs.
like, what was it?
Yeah. So here's... Check this out. Somebody in there posted all the studies that they're finding related to consumption
of pornography. I saw that.
The studies show desensitization and tolerance. So over time, frequent exposure leads to desensitization, where individuals require increasingly extreme or novel stimuli to experience arousal. This can cause big problems. There's also rewiring of neural pathways. The pornography consumption can alter the brain's reward system, leading to changes in neural pathways associated with pleasure and arousal. That's what drugs do. Negative impact on intimacy. They're finding that excessive pornography use has been linked to relationship dissatisfaction, intimacy issues, and decreased sexual satisfaction, and distorted views on sexuality, and social isolation and withdrawal. That's what the data shows on that. Wow. I think that's going to be next on the horizon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
You know, talking about kids and stuff like that, the other thing I wanted to bring up was when Doug and I took off on our little trip that you guys didn't get to come to.
That's so cute.
he was sharing with me about this. It was like a retreat that Bree got to do where he had, I don't know if you guys knew how to do this. He had her like write a letter to
yeah,
her.
Yeah, he did tell me.
Yeah.
So you wrote a letter and then she read it so many days in?
So what happened is they went on a 3-day retreat. The kids didn't take their phones, which is such a great idea there. Mm-hmm. And parents, all parents wrote letters to the kids about, you know, how much they love them, you know, their hopes and dreams, whatever they wanted to say, whatever was on their heart. And so I wrote a letter. Her mom wrote a letter. Her grandparents wrote letters. Her friends wrote letters. And so during this retreat, they chose one letter from each parent. So not both parents, one parent to read in front of everybody. So there was like 50, 55 people, kids that went on this retreat. And these letters were very heartfelt. And there was apparently like kids were crying. Oh, it was such an emotional experience. It'd be so experience.
Amazing to see that, you know?
Yeah. And then they went into a room and everybody had a packet with all their letters. It was in a big shape of a heart. And they went and got their packet and they'd read their letters. And apparently it was just a time for kids to really talk about their situations, their relationships with their parents, you know, and a lot of them came to these really interesting realizations. So when they came back, we all met the students when they came in. They had no idea we were going to be there.
Right. And they didn't know the kids didn't know the letters were even coming.
They
right?
didn't know about the letters. They didn't know we're going to be there after the retreat was over. So we were all there waiting for them. They came in. And of course, they were all excited to see us. And then the kids had an opportunity to get in front of everybody and share.
Oh my God.
And the kids, I swear, every one of these was so heartfelt. These kids, kids were crying. I mean, even these tough boys.
Did you hold it together? Did you hold it together?
No, when Brianna went up there, I didn't hold it together.
Of course. I would be bawling.
Yeah. I'm starting to get teary eyed just thinking about it. But these kids, I realized I was basically a little shit. I didn't respect you as parents, and I know how much you've done for me. I mean, this is what some of these kids were saying.
Wow.
I had a horrible relationship with my brother. And then there's kids like, when my dad passed away, you know, it's just like, oh my God, this thing was just tearing everybody up. But these kids, they had license after being there for 3 days to really express themselves and not have fear of judgment from their peers.
Yeah.
And boy, I mean, it opened them up in such ways because they're teenagers, right? Yeah. And there's so many pressures in school to be a certain way. And then you're in this environment where everybody's just really able to open themselves up and to be honest and to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I just saw like these kids' transformations were amazing. Wow, I could tell that. And for Brianna, it was fantastic too. I mean, she came back and she's just been like such a, I mean, she's always a joy, but like I've really noticed. I felt like she leveled up in her maturity after that. So, I mean, I would suggest any school doing something like that would be a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah. Wow. That's
great.
That
sounds powerful.
Yeah. You know, the two times when you're most influential over your child's brain and how it wires is when they're like babies and toddlers and then when they're adolescent teenagers. Like the two most impactful times you can really.
I think too, this is an area that we're missing in educating our kids so bad. Like
totally.
That's a private school, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and this was one of the things, like when Katrina and I first got together, this was like the big debate between her and I about, you know, would we put our son in private school? And I was so hard about it. And for this exact example, I don't think this is shared enough. These types of things that get funded and get and how important those are in the development of kids. Like that's, I mean, you got to watch it and it was transformative for every freaking kid that was in there. Like, imagine if all of our schools were doing things like that. I really wish we would move to something different with the way and make schools competitive to where everyone was leveling up like that, coming up with things that were transformative for kids and that were impacting, and parents were going, oh my God, well, my school did this. Oh my God, this school did that. And they were competing with each other to provide the best education system for them instead of this government funded bullshit. All we care about is they show up and they pass these generic tests and we push them through school. Yeah. It's like, it's so terrible, man. And it starts with our kids and you hear stuff like that. I mean, it's unbelievable that she got the opportunity. You got the opportunity to do that, but it's also highlights how much the rest of the people are missing out. Yeah,
there's a massive deficit there.
Huge. Yeah, huge, man.
Yeah. I mean, I have friends that have their kids go to the public schools, but what they've done is they've gotten really involved with the other parents.
You got to be. If the kids are involved, it's a huge difference.
If they're in public, then you've got to be.
And I have my best friend and his wife are both public school teachers, and of course they defend, you know, and I get it if that's what you do. And by the way, this is not me saying that there's not incredible public school teachers, but the system itself is broken and terrible. And it doesn't mean that there's not great teachers in there. And it would, I can only imagine those great teachers that teach at public schools, have they had the resources and the ability?
It just doesn't make sense to me that a phenomenal, impactful teacher makes right around the same amount as one that has been shipped around to different schools because they've had terrible performance and complaints. Mm-hmm. And that's what tends to happen. It makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. I think if you're that impactful and that good, you should get paid more and they should learn from you. And if you're a school and you're doing great, you should get more funding. And other schools that do a shit job should either change or go out of business.
It's really top down. It's really top down though. I mean, that's something that the school puts together, right? Like, of course, great teachers show up and do it, but they're part of a very well thought out system. Somebody at the top goes, this is so important at this stage of their lives. We're going to do this. We're going to make the parents do this thing. They literally, like, that takes some organization to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And buy-in to get everybody to do that. And then look at the outcome of that.
So nice.
Incredible, man.
Speaking of kids, did you guys try Organifi's, the immunity powder?
I just took mine home today.
Delicious.
They're
scientists or whoever they use to formulate, because it's organic, it's good ingredients. They don't use artificial sweeteners. They crush flavor. They make the best.
Oh, I know.
You know, because you can always taste.
Out of the park every time.
Artificial sweeteners, the synthetic ones are, you know, they just taste better than monk fruit and stevia. I mean, you know, that's just a fact. But Organifi just, I don't know how they do it, man.
Yeah.
They've got the best tasting non-artificially sweetened stuff you'll find anywhere.
Well, I mean, isn't that like, you've taught, I mean, I, you know me, I'm always like, it has to taste good. Isn't that like,
well, especially for your kids, dude?
Well, I mean,
you drink this.
I don't care. It's for adults too, man. Sure. I mean, like, it's, I mean, I know you have the ability to swallow any pill or take any powder instead of a deal. But a majority of people, if it's awful, it's really hard. It's already hard enough to be consistent with taking supplements. If it's not good too, or at least like bearable, like it's, and Organifi did a really good job of not only having quality products that are organic, but then in addition to that,
I like that they're going for the, like, they're now coming out with products for kids, which is pretty good. What are the ingredients in that specifically, Doug?
Let me see if I can find that. I got orange and acerola cherry, astragalus is how you pronounce it.
Astragalus.
Yeah. Elderberry, propolis.
Yeah, these are all immune boosting for children and for adults. So good stuff. By the way, speaking of spending and government stuff, you want to hear some fun facts about this? These expensive bills that they pass.
Oh, let us know where the money's going. Yeah. Yay.
So the $1.2 trillion spending bill, by the way, this is what they do. They'll put this bill through, massive.
You only have a bunch of little stuff.
You have like
in there.
2 days to read it. Nobody reads it. They push it through because if you don't love people or whatever.
Yeah.
But what they do is they squeeze in money and favors for their friends and they name it something.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, for example, $850,000 went for a gay senior citizen home in Massachusetts. I didn't know that there were gay senior citizen homes, but okay.
All right.
$15 million went for Egyptian college tuitions. Okay. $400,000 for a group that helps teens hide their gender. Oh. And then $500,000 for an anti-racist nature appreciation group at the San Diego Zoo. That's my favorite one.
Anti-racist nature
appreciation group.
I want to start a group like this.
Wow.
You know what this is? This is like, just, you're a congressperson. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
How can you give me half a million?
A group.
I'm going to make a name of a group they can't touch.
No.
They cannot touch
anti-racist,
it.
Anti-racist. Like,
checks loving. All the boxes.
What? Yeah. You're racist? Yeah. And we hate nature?
And we love animals. Yeah. I support that.
We must send them money.
$500,000, bro.
Oh, my God.
I want to find this group.
That is the hustle right
How
there.
Are you an anti-racist nature?
That's such a gangster move. Let's name it something you can't even say.
Yeah.
So this stuff's always,
that's great.
It kills me. All right. Do we have a shout out for the day?
We did the podcast one the other day. That was a mic halfway through that. That was really good. What was the other one? I gave the one on the octopus one, right? You guys already did that one. I feel like I had another one. I can't remember.
You know, I might have one here. Give me a second here.
Aren't you reading or pretending to read right now?
No, I am reading actually, but I already said the book. So there was a, let me see. There's this influencer. Ah, here we go. So she talks about parenting. She does an exceptional job communicating. Her name is Destiny Ann. So Destiny with an I dot Ann on Instagram. About 60-something thousand followers. Really good information for parenting. So if you're a parent, you got little ones, and you want some good info, go check that out. Look, you're not what you eat. You're what you digest and what you absorb. There's a company that makes a product called Masszymes that are digestive enzymes for those of you that eat a high-protein diet that want to break down those proteins into amino acids, get them to the target tissues, and want to break down those fats for your brain, for your nervous system, break down those carbohydrates for energy. Digestive enzymes can help you do that. This is also good for those of you that sometimes get bloated after meals or just feel like you don't digest very well. You take them with your meal and it helps break things down. Go check them out. Go to buyoptimizers.com. That's buyoptimizers.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump10. Get 10% off your order. All right, back to the show.
First question is from Sir Brenner. Can you talk about how blood type affects nutrition and does blood type affect training?
Oh, wow. It's been a while since we've talked about this.
Yeah, doesn't affect either. Yeah. There was a book that was
great marketing ploy.
And it was like a blood type diet. And the theory was, you know, type O, for example, which is the universal donor, the original blood type, right?
So they eat more chicken, less red meat.
Yeah, I think it was that they evolved from hunter-gatherer, so the diet should be more hunter-gatherer, right? Type A came later, so some dairy's okay and some grains are okay, type B. And it was really just an invented theory that sounds cool because it sounds like it has some science, but there's zero data to support.
And the data to support how it's been effective for the people it is that the same data that supports that anybody that starts tracking or doing anything sees results.
Yep.
So what you see, my roommate who was a chef, smart guy too, right? Like he had these books and I remember he knew I was obviously the fitness guy. So he was just like, oh, you got to read this, bro. It's blowing my mind. And I've been following this diet and I feel so good and this and that. And it's like, no, it's because you're following a diet.
Yeah.
So because you're actually paying attention to what you eat. And like that in itself is showing you the results. It has nothing to do with that you're a type whatever and you're eating more of this and less of that.
Did you know that in Japan for a while, they would look at your blood type in job interviews. Maybe Doug can look this up, but I believe this was a trend because this was like a theory that, and again, it hasn't been proven in any way, shape or form that your blood type has anything to do with. Now, blood type is associated with like some have a higher instance of certain types of diseases and others can be more protective against things like malaria and stuff like that. But when it comes to diet and exercise, there's nothing.
There's more. I think there's more correlation going on with what region your family came from than your blood type.
Yeah.
So if you came from a certain region, it's more likely that, what's it say?
Yeah. Blood type personality theory is another one. Many people in Japan and Korea have been discriminated against because of their blood type. I'd love to know what their theory says.
Right.
Like, what do they say about the different blood types? Do you guys know what your blood types are, by the way?
I don't know what mine
is. Yeah, I don't really know.
Really?
To be honest, yeah.
I'm O. I know that because I give blood.
So you're a universal donor.
And they call me.
Is it O plus and negative or both?
Both donors? Are universal. Yeah, right? Yeah. So, interesting. Yeah, there's no data to support anything in relation to diet or exercise.
Yeah.
Next question is from SLF 2021. If you don't have access to heavier weights to have constant progression of overload to build muscle, would increasing the time under tension with a lighter weight still develop gains, or is the overload realistically the most optimum or only way?
Yes, to a point. Right?
What was the episode that we did? What did we title that one? Where
different ways
nine ways to progressively overload, I think it was what it was. Something like that. So I think that's important that you understand that. Like that's a good episode to go listen to.
Yeah, because you could add reps, add weight, you could increase your range of motion, and you could slow down the reps. Those are the ones that I remember or that I use the most. But to a point, for sure. Now, if you get to the point where one rep is taking you 30 seconds, well, now you've turned that set into an endurance type of strength training. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, most people don't do a 4-second negative, and that's hypertrophy. Like, that's muscle building.
Yeah.
So most people, you just take a 4-second negative or a 5-second negative, and they have to drop the weight by a good 20% just to be able to complete the the desired number of reps.
Changing the exercise is also a way to progressively overload, right? If if you do, you know, bilateral squatting all the time and then switching to Bulgarian split squats, watch what happens. I mean, you're going to completely develop. Stability was a component of that too. Like if you never trained any sort of, you know,
end range strength, you know, because that's something too. Like, I mean, you don't want to, obviously it's like a whole nother exercise because, you know, your body's not used to that. It's not familiar. It's not providing enough strength in that range.
For me, now that I'm older, if I feel stronger, I don't add weight. I slow the reps
down. I was just going to say, and in fact, I'm going to go on a limb and say, unless you're an athlete who your sport is to lift more weight, right? So powerlifting or Olympic lifting, then you're probably better off actually using some of the other techniques to progressively overload besides always just adding weight to the bar. That's the easy one, right? It's like, oh, I did this much, so I'm getting stronger. Let's add more weight. But there's a lot of different ways that you can challenge a movement to continually build muscle and get stronger. It doesn't need to be this, you know.
No, when I'm doing a set and I'm about to, let's say I want to hit 10 reps and I'm at number 8 and I'm like, oh, I can probably do 5 more reps. I slow down. I'll pause in the stretch. I'll squeeze a little harder and I'll make it end at rep number 10. And that's way better in terms of risk, you know, of injury.
It gives you more longevity. Totally. I mean, and that's the thing. It's I think people get caught in that just always trying to add more weight and load. And then you're going to hit a plateau. You're going to inevitably just hit that max potential in that direction. Whereas if you filled in and did all these other techniques, it would actually progress you even further than you could have.
Next question is from Alicia Thresher. You talk a lot about how to speak or approach family about fitness and health, but how do you approach the topic towards your own children who are leading sedentary and unhealthy lifestyles?
Oh, I like this question.
Yeah, so it depends on the age, but of course, ideally, the children are born into an environment where this is just the way that the family lives. I think the most impact you can have on your kids is to be the example and it be a quiet, not like you're not pushing it on anybody. It's just, this is
not a lot of intensity behind
it. You don't even have to say anything about it. You just do it. Right. Kids are around you. And the next thing you know, they pick up on it.
Consistently.
I think this becomes more of a challenge. This is very, I can see, you know, I definitely have compassion for parents who pick up health and fitness.
Oh, yes.
And their kids have already grown up in a different environment.
100%. That's like,
and the then hardest. Now they're trying to, you know, influence their 11 or 12 year old or 13 year old into doing this because they've, you know,
I really like hearing both of you guys talk about this because I think you guys both have really different households. And you obviously both are, health and fitness is a priority in both your households, but have very different, like your kids are into different things. And so it's interesting to hear how you both, you know, navigate this. Like I know you, Sal, you have your sons more into like robotics and gaming and things like that. I know your boys are somewhat into that too, but one of the things I've witnessed Justin do is Justin's a very outdoorsy, active person. And I think when I think about like when the time comes where maybe my son is less, like the first thing that comes to mind for me is like, I will need to go do more of that stuff. Like, you know, recently I've talked about wanting to get more and back into basketball shape and things like that. And part of that motivation too, is that I want to see my son to see me doing that stuff. And so it's just a part of our life. It's not like me going, hey, get outside and go play.
Yeah.
You know, like dad sits on his phone or gets on the computer. It's like, that's going to be really tough to do versus, where's dad going? Oh, I'm heading to the park to go play some hoop. You want to come down with me and hang out at the park or throw the football? Yeah. Like, so I think the best way to encourage, and this would be the same too for the challenge that Sal brought up, which is, you know, the hardest, and I've had clients, right? The hardest are for sure a family that has decided to become a health and fitness family and they already have 9, 12, 13-year-olds.
By the way, when you do that, what you don't want to do is just all of a sudden change everything and say nothing to the kid because that's gaslighting them. Yeah. What you want to do is you want to sit them down if they're old enough, right? So let's say you have a 13-year-old and now you're like, we're going to change things. You sit them down and you say, look, I'm going to be going on this journey to improve my health and fitness. We're going to start eating differently in the house and I'm going to be exercising regularly and we're going to be doing more outdoor activities. I know it's a big change. It's going to be different. It's going to be kind of an adjustment. But it's something that I really want to do and it's good for me. And then be consistent with it. What you don't want to do is say it and then not do it because then the kids can be like, I don't believe anything you say. But you got to say something versus when they're born into it, you don't say anything at all. You just live it. and you do it, in which case they're in it. They're in it without even realizing, like, this is how our family is.
And that's how I feel. I feel like Justin's done such a good job of that with his family. Like, almost probably to a fault, he would say, because I know his boys get stir crazy if if they're in the house for longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen us on vacation. It's a little bit of a challenge there because, I have to get out. I have to do things. I have to move. I have to, you know, have activities planned and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's just, that's sort of the precedent that was set. But, it's challenging because you don't always want to do that.
No, the reason why I'm bringing it up is I think you do a really good job of this, and I've watched that, and I want to model some of those behaviors. There's been times where we all go to like our Truckee place, and all of our families are there, and I am definitely the person on vacation. I don't want to do shit. I want room service, put my feet up. Yeah. I'm on vacation. And I watch Justin sometimes get up at 9 o'clock in the morning, first thing in the morning, and he's packing his family up and they're off to the water, or they're off to outdoor fishing, or they're doing something. It's like, man, that's, I'm sure there's times where you're like, man, I actually just want to sit down and relax without him and do nothing, which means the kids could very well default to playing video games on their iPad. And it's like, hey, if I don't want them to do that, what's better than telling them, no, you can't play games on the iPad is, hey, let's go fishing, or hey, let's go do that. So, you know, again, this falls back, I think, on us parents to be more proactive in those situations, even when we don't really want to, because we care so much about modeling those behaviors to our kids that we tough. I mean, I think that's part of being a dad. I think that's part of being a parent. It's like, you know, some of that shit isn't always fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Next question is from Mitzi RTRCT. How to choose between ashwagandha and rhodiola for stress, and why?
Great question. Both are known as adaptogens. So both of them improve the body's ability to deal with stress. So which one do you pick? Well, they're both very different. Ashwagandha is more of an anxiolytic when it comes to its effects. In other words, it'll be more relaxing. It'll kind of bring things down a little bit. It's not going to make you hyper or give you more energy. It's just going to kind of bring things down. So if you're overstressed and you want something that's also going to give you kind of an anti-anxiety effect, then go with ashwagandha. Rhodiola has this mild stimulant effect. If you want an adaptogen that's also going to give you some energy and kind of fuel you through workouts or push you a little bit, then go with rhodiola. But you got to be very honest with the kind of person that you are, because if you really need to bring things down, the rhodiola might not be for you. So that's those are the big distinctions between the two.
I mean, when you say that, is like probably the most important is probably how you personally, because I tend to not feel as good off of it's rhodiola, right? Rhodiola is, and some people love that. Some people take it and they're like, it's amazing. But
here's a funny thing. They both improve athletic performance. They both have been shown to help people build strength and build muscle.
Just because you can handle the stress a little bit more appropriately?
With both of them, right? But rhodiola, like, you took rhodiola before going to bed, you're not going to get good sleep. You took ashwagandha before bed, you'll get really good sleep. So you got to kind of know what you need more of. The challenge, though, is sometimes everybody says they need more energy, when in reality, I'm like this. I don't always need things to give me a stimulant effect.
Yeah.
In fact, ashwagandha sometimes makes me have more energy because it brings things down and calms me out.
Now, I know Organifi's green juice has ashwagandha. What has rhodiola out of our partners?
Red juice.
Oh, the red juice.
Organifi's red juice has
rhodiola in there.
So I would go red juice as a pre-workout and the green juice anytime. And you'll have those adaptogens in there perfectly. Look, if you like the show, check out our free burn fat guide or lose fat guide. You can find it at mindpumpfree.com. You can also find all of us on social media. Justin is at mindpumpjustin on Instagram. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support. And until next time, this is Mind Pump.